I believe that I must have covered with you through verse 16 of chapter 2 the last time. Is this right? So we begin with verse 17 of chapter 2. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now the word behold in verse 17 are the two words, but if. Thou art called a Jew. But if you literally bear the name of a Jew, in 2 Kings chapter 16 and in verse 6, and this is the first usage of this word Jew. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. We need to work this word. You need to work it so that you understand it, because the word Jew is not the right word. It's just, you know, Judean, Israel, these are things. And you just have to work this. And, of course, immediately when you read this word, you think of current Jews. And that's not at all what the word is talking about. It's not talking about the modern nation called Israel or the people who call themselves Jews any place in our world today. In Galatians chapter 2 is a very interesting little statement in verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not what? Sinners of the Gentiles. You watch this develop, that little statement. We are not sinners of the what? Gentiles. Behold, thou art called a Jew, 17 of Romans 2, and resteth in the law. Look at your ands in here. And resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast, and knoweth. Then he goes down, and art confident in verse 19. Verse 17 just looks like a polysyndeton to me. And resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things, and art confident, and resteth in the law, which is here in the context of Romans, nothing but egotistical selfishness and self-complacency. And makest thy boast of God. The preposition of is the Greek preposition enn. Makest thy boast of God literally means they gloried in God's favoring them. I wrote in my text here, glory in God's favoring you like this. in chapter 5 of Romans and in verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. See? 1 Corinthians, I want to look at chapter 1, verse 29. No flesh shall glory in his what? Isn't that something? See, now they rested in the law. They were making their boast as if God had specially favored them, which he did, but that they were specially favored no matter what they did. 18. And knowest his will. The word knowest is gnosko. The word will is thelema, T-H-E-L-E-M-A, long E, second E. And we have done a work in the core previously on this word thelema, desire, will, and handled it accurately, which you perhaps ought to find for yourself and study it out. And approveth the things that are more excellent. Approving always comes after proving. Approving comes after something has been proven. Then you can approve it. You know his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, having proved the greatness of the law, being instructed out of the law. The word instructed is a very interesting Greek word to a lot of us here. It is the Greek word katekeo, spelled K-A-T, long E, C-H-E, long O. That is transliterated into our English word catechize or catechism. Any of you ever attend catechism? Then you were categorized. That's where this word comes from. Knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed, catechized. Out of is the preposition ek. You are catechized in the law, from the law. Verse 19, and art confident. The word confident equals being persuaded that thou thyself art a guide of the blind. They were persuaded that they were guides of the blind. The word for guide is the Greek word hodigos, H-O-D, long E, G-O-S. This word should literally be translated a way leader. A way leader. That thou art a way leader, guide of the blind. In Matthew chapter 15, I want to compare something here. There's this record in verse 14. Let them alone. They that be blind are leaders of the what? And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the what? Ditch. And in chapter 23 of Matthew, verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides, a way leader, which say so forth. Same word there in verse 16. A way leader of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, fully convinced, fully persuaded as they were, that they were way leaders of the blind, they were a light, and the word light is phos, P-H-O-S, long O, and you know, photographic comes from it, photo comes from it, that's the Greek word, of them which are in darkness, and this literally means they were willing to share their light, willing to share his light, but we're going to see that the light they were sharing was not the real light of God's word. That's why verse 20 comes, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. The word instructor is the Greek word, paidoites, P-A-I-D-E-U-T, long E-S, which means a trainer of the foolish. The word foolish is the Greek word aphron, A-P-H-R, long O-N, which should be translated immature, a teacher of babes. It was interesting to me in working this how he puts, the Word of God puts instructor and teacher together. Instructor, the trainer, the teacher of babes. And the babes here is the Greek word nepios, N-E, long E, P-I-O-S. Which means proselytes, a teacher of proselytes, which had the form of knowledge, the form of knowledge. Reminds me of 2 Timothy 3:7. What does that say? Ever what? Learning. Right. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These had the form. They had the form of knowledge. They had the external form, like you would refer to, they had the law. The word form is the Greek word M-O-R-P-H-O-S-I-S, morphosis, long O, M-O-R-P-H, long O-S-I-S. English word metamorphosis. The external form. The word knowledge is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. See, they were instructors, trainers of the immature, teachers of the proselytes. They had a form of knowledge and the truth, which is the word, the law, the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Let's take a look at Genesis 21. Genesis 21. And God said in verse 12 unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. Talking about Hagar, isn't he? In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. See, we got Abraham, we got Isaac, then we got Jacob. Jacob and Esau were brothers. Isaac, the only child there that we're concerned about. In Genesis 32, verse 28, then he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. See, that's the night when Jacob had a little fight going on, a little wrestling match. And God said to him, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, because Jacob, the word Jacob means supplanter, one who beats everybody out of everything he can. And if you go back reading the Old Testament, that was the real manifestation of Jacob. He worked overtime, but he said his name's going to be called Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You were successful. In chapter 35 and verse 10, God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he, God, called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. See, they had the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. That's why, going to Romans now, again, but chapter 9, I want to show you something here. We'll be in this later again as we keep moving forward in Romans. See, here we have the correct word. Verse 4, who are Israelites? Question. 9:4 of Romans. To whom the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service and the promises? Question, who's the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh? Christ. Who is over all? Question, God, period, blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel which are of what? Israel. Jacob had how many children? Okay, 12 children of Israel, Jacob. But they're not all of Israel which are of Israel. Even though they came out of the same so-called bloodline, they did not believe God's word. That's why verse 7 says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Believers. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted, reckoned for the seed. Well, we'll get into the depth of that when we get to Romans 9. But back to verse 21 of Romans 2. The form of knowledge and of the truth in the law, 21, thou therefore. This is just a figure of speech known in English as irony here. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? The word preachest here is the Greek word keruso, K-E-R-U-S-S-O, long O. A keruso is a herald who acts as the proclaimer of the authority. Verse 22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Literally, commit sacrilege is rob temples. The Greek word is spelled H-I-E-R-O-S-U-L-E, long O. In Acts 19, verse 37, for ye have brought hither these men, talking about Paul knows, brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, robbers of temples, robbers of churches, the assemblies, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. You see, here was a pagan temple, and they had a lot of worshipers, and they had a lot of goodies inside of the temple. And these instructors and teachers of the law thought, well, look, if we rob that, we take that, we're doing them a favor because we're taking it out of the pagan temple and bringing it to ourselves, to the good God. That's what this is all about. They were self-righteous, egotistically selfish, complacent in it, and what they were doing is just robbing the temples, taking that money and saying, well, you know, it's for the true guys. Like some denominations have thought in the past, you know, they do God a favor if they kill somebody else that wasn't in agreement with them. Persecutions and this kind of stuff where, you know, Inquisition, get rid of the unbeliever. They say was an unbeliever, so execute him. Take what he's got, steal his property because you're doing God a favor. It's not stealing, it's just taking something that you can bless better on your side of the fence. That's not at all what God's after, you'll see. But look at that, the word lays on it. See? Abhorrest idols, thou that abhorrest idols. You know, you say you abhor them. What you rob temples for? Just counterfeit, you see it? What he's going to really hit on, and you'll see it, you've already seen it, he's going to show that Israel, these people call themselves Israel, that they are totally without God and without hope. No glorying in the flesh. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. You see, when you put all of this stuff together from the Gospels and from the church epistles, then you can just see to what depth they had sunk. Had a form of knowledge, they had the truth in the law, but they couldn't live up to it. They didn't live up to it. And therefore, they had no life spiritually. Verse 23 in Romans 2. Thou that makest thy boast of the law. The preposition of is the Greek word en. This phrase, thou makest thy boast of the law, this phrase stands in contrast with the following. Makest the boast, yet they broke the what? They make the boast of the law, how wonderful the law is, how tremendous, all of that. But break the law, through breaking the law. Preposition through is dia, D-I-A. Breaking is transgressing. There cannot be transgression without a law. That's why this breaking has to be transgression, because it's the law. Over here at Weirwill Road and Highway 29, there's a stop sign, STOP. Brother Reuben read it backward and he said, don't have to, go. So it's the law, STOP. And therefore, if you break the law, you have transgressed it, then the cops get you. Then you pay a fine. But you take that stop sign away there, then there is no what? Then you can't transgress. You can still be out of fellowship, you can still blow it, but you can't transgress the law. Look at John 8. This should be a little familiar to you. John 8. Jesus answered, verse 49. I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. Because they had accused him of having a devil. And that's this word dishonorous. Ye do dishonor me. Transgressing the law, dishonorest thou God? Verse 24. For the name of God, the name of God, is blasphemed among you, among the Gentiles, through you. The word among is the preposition en. They were way leaders for the proselytes, for the little babes, you know, the proselytes. They were leaders, teachers, carousos for the Gentiles. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. In Isaiah 52, listen to verse 5. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, for nothing? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. In Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 20. And when they entered in unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and they're gone forth out of his land. Verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, verse 25, Romans 2. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. You should do a good piece of work on the word circumcision sometime. Study that word. Check it out in every usage in the word. Circumcision is the seal of God's covenant he made with Abraham. What advantage in 3:1 of Romans, we'll get to that next session perhaps, but what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. See? Circumcision verily profiteth in verse 25 of 2, if thou keep the law. And this word keep, people, does not mean that you never sin. That word keep means to endeavor to sincerely practice. That's the best I know to do with it. To endeavor to sincerely practice. We know even in our day all men sin, but that's not the issue even here. Circumcision verily profiteth if thou endeavor sincerely to practice it. But they did not endeavor to sincerely practice it. They were sincere enough, but not in the practicing of the law, but in the breaking of it. That's why the next phrase says, but if thou be a breaker, you know, breaker, breaker, transgressor, not a CB. Maybe you find out if you're driving too fast. If thou be a transgressor of the law, thy circumcision has become, is made equals, has become uncircumcision. Verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? The word keep, we're speaking here now of Gentiles, you know, is the Greek word spelled P-H-U-L-A-S-S long O. If the uncircumcision keep, really try to care to be righteous. If they really try, that's this word Phulasso. That's the best I think I can do with that word. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, really try to care with their lives to be good, honest, righteous is the word here, righteousness. Literally fulfilling right ordinances, right requirements. The Greek word here for righteousness is the word dikaioma, D-I-K-A-I-O-M-A. I think this word so important personally that I have it written in for every reference in the front leaf of my Bible. This word is used in Luke 1:6, translated ordinances. Romans 1:32, which we had previously, judgment, and here in 2:26, righteousness. In Romans 5:16, it's translated justification. By the way, I have all these marked in the text in the King James in my Bible. In 5:18, it's translated righteousness. In Romans 8:4, righteousness. In Hebrews 9:1, ordinances. And in 9:10 of Hebrews, ordinances. And in Revelation 15:4, judgments. And in Revelation 19:8, righteousness. These are all the places used in the New Testament. And these are the requirements of the law. Therefore, if the uncircumcision really try to care for the right requirements of the law, this again does not imply sinlessness. It's a sincere endeavor to practice. Gave you that a little while ago. Will not his uncircumcision be counted, be as equivalent to circumcision? Verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, the Gentiles, which is by nature, because they were not under the law, therefore, there could not be a transgression on their part, but they by their very nature. If it, the Gentiles, the uncircumcised ones, fulfill the law. Now again, kids, not sinlessness, understand? But with a sincere desire, caring for. They judge thee, who by the letter, that which is written, the law, and because you're circumcised, the seal of the covenant, you transgress the what? Law. See? Shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? And yet these people who had that which was written, who were circumcised, were the teachers, the instructors, and it was just like we read, the blind leading the blind. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, just because he was circumcised or had the oracles of God, the law, neither or neither. It's the preposition ude, O-U-D-E. Is that, of course, italics? Neither circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Nothing external, class. Nothing external. The law, circumcision, constitutes spiritual relationship and truth with God. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29, but in contrast, he is a Jew. He, a Jew, is italicized again, which is one inwardly, literally one in secret, inwardly, in secret. I have a note on Matthew 6:4. I don't recall why I put it in here. I'll look it up. Yeah, that thine alms may be in secret. In secret. Father seeth in secret. Verse 6. But thou when thou prayest, thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The word here is translated in Romans 2:29, inwardly. But he is a Jew which is one in secret, and circumcision is that of the heart. Boy, you see, even under the law of Sinai, the laws, you see, the children of Israel, God's children, took that as a legalistic thing, thinking, well, boy, we got the law, now we can just do as we fool please, so what? But they didn't have it in their heart. I already see grace all through this. Basically, all the Bible commentators generally say there's no great grace in the Old Testament. Look at this one. Boy, look at it. I didn't write it. Inwardly, and circumcision is that of what? The heart. That's got to be an inside job. In the spirit is King James, but there's no article thee. In the heart, in spirit, within the innermost part of a person's being, within, really caring, like they talked about the Gentiles a while ago. Look at Deuteronomy. Boy, this stuff is just fantastic. Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. How do you like that one? And be no more stiff-necked. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God. How? With all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest what? Live. Sounds like Matthew, Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. Circumcise thine heart. Boy, I think a lot of people need their hearts circumcised today. Boy, they're not tender. They're callous. They're tough, hard, stiff-necked. Circumcision is that of the heart, in spirit, in the life of that individual, in tenderness, in love, in being identified. It reminds me of the scripture, rejoice with them that what? Rejoice. Weep with those that what? Weep. See? Boy, when you really get the greatness of God in your heart, really within, you're going to be tender. You're going to be loving. not wishy-washy. We're not talking about that. We're not even talking about sinlessness. But you'll have a sincere desire to be identified with. And that's what I mean when I say, when you hurt, I hurt. When you rejoice, I rejoice. When you are blessed, I'm blessed. Circumcision is that of the heart in spirit and not in the letter, not in the letter of the law. Because you could do the letter of the law and still be uncircumcised in heart. You can carry out the legalism of the law and be just opposite of love, just opposite of having your heart circumcised. I want to take a look at 29 of Genesis, 35. I want to look at 29 Genesis. I wanted to call your attention to this son of Jacob called Judah. For out of that tribe of Judah, remember that? And you got to work the bloodline sometime, the children of Judah in the word, and see exactly. Perez was one, I forget who they are. And you'll just be able to trace it down and finally see where the children came from out of Judah in the believer's line. You have to work the word Jew. You got to work Israel. You got to work circumcision. That word righteousness, all of those you have to work in your word, kids. Circumcision is that of the heart in spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of whom? Remember the man who stood and prayed to be recognized for praying? The publican said, God, do so and so. Not in letter, whose praise is not of what? Men, but of whom? Right. I think those things are really tremendous. And I'd like to say in closing again tonight, nothing external. Under grace, and even in the Old Testament, where the law was given, the oracles of God to Israel, it still had to be of grace. Nothing external constitutes spiritual relationships. With that, we close this great second chapter of Romans, and by God's mercy and grace, the next time we'll continue and see this develop now between Jew and Gentile, that both are dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. And that with the coming of the church of the body to which you and I belong, it was a calling out from both Jew and Gentile to make a new body, which is the church of the mystery to which we belong.